All right, as we step into this new year, we're going to step into a new series called The Heart of the King, and we're going to be looking at life lessons from the life of David. And God really just kind of drew me this direction. I don't know why, but I just figured, hey, we're going to jump into it. Acts chapter 13, we're actually going to start in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Says, and when he had removed him, that's when God removed Saul as king. We'll get into that here in a moment. He raised up David to be their king, of whom he testified and said, I have found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. As I've been personally praying coming into 2026, that really has been on my heart, that I would be a man after God's own heart. Like, what does that look like for me to be molded and shaped? And what does it look like for us as people to be people after God's own heart? What does it look like? And for me, as I was praying about it, it just simply looks like alignment with God. That means what God says that we line up with. What God says for us to do, we do. What God's burdens are become our burdens. That we don't add to our calling out of ambition, and we don't shrink back out of fear. It means that it's more than just doing the things God says. It's more just doing them God's way. It's actually where our motives get replaced with the very motives that God has towards people and places and things and towards situations and the things happening in this world. It's alignment with God. And so New Year's is like, it's always a time where people set new goals, and man, that's great. I love that. It's anytime you can have a moment where you can reevaluate your life, where you can hit pause and you can take a fresh look at things. Those are good. And we establish new habits, and new habits are good, but habits can only go so far. What if this year, instead of just having new habits, we actually ask God to cultivate a new heart in us? You see, habits only last so long without new hearts. That's why so many fail, is because we get new habits, but we haven't changed on the inside. What if we asked this year, God, would you change me from the inside out? God, would you replace the heart of offense and place a soft heart in me? Would you replace the heart of my own ambition and place a heart with your holy ambition? Would you replace a heart in me that's been hardened by life and replace it with a tenderness that comes from your spirit? I don't want just new habits. Those are great, but I want a new heart. And David's story is much like this. David's story starts off when he's just a teenager. And one day there's a prophet priest named Samuel who comes knocking at his father's house. And he's knocking at the door because God has told him that he's rejected King Saul and he's come to anoint one of the sons of Jesse as the new king. And so he comes to the firstborn, who would naturally be who you would pick. That's just how things worked in that day. And he looked like a king. He looked like he had the part. But God said, don't look at his outward appearance. For man looks on the outward, but God looks at the heart. See, what he was almost getting ready to do was to make the Saul mistake. Remember when they chose Saul as king, Saul looked like he had the part of a king. He stood head and shoulders above everybody else. Can I just tell you, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside. If the inside isn't right, it's not going anywhere. And so he goes down and it's like, no, it's not this one. It's not this one. It's not this one. And finally, Samuel runs out of kids to anoint. And he comes to Jesse and he says, Jesse, you got any more kids? I know I heard from God. It's one of your kids. But he's like, yeah, I didn't even think to bring him in. He's just a teenager. He's just out there with the sheep. Well, go get him. And so they go get David, who was out in the fields, who was watching the sheep, didn't even get invited to the party. He was like at the kiddie table at Thanksgiving, right? He didn't even think to invite him to the adult table. But they bring him in, and here's what happens. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil, because they would anoint people with oil. There's a whole teaching on that. Don't have time to get into. But it says, and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. How do you guys think that went well? Right? In the midst of all of his brothers who just are all older. He's the youngest. It says, and then watch this. And the spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day forward. And Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. I don't know what kind of church background you have or what kind of a church environment you grew up in, but I used to, when I grew up in church, I would hear things like, man, that person's really anointed, or that message was really anointed. And I didn't really know what it meant, and it is mysterious. I'm gonna try to tackle this as much as we can to get into this idea of anointing, but we can't go past David's story without talking about what the anointing is. And so let me try to take a stab at it. From ancient times, as you walk all the way through Israel's story, God would call people to be anointed for special tasks and special purposes. Kings would be anointed. You see, David was anointed. Saul before him was anointed. At times, prophets would be anointed. All the priests would be anointed. These were people who were set apart for a special purpose. It was as if God's stamp of approval and his power came upon them to do what he called them to do. At times, even things would be anointed. The tent of meeting where God resided and they moved around was anointed. The utensils in the tent of meeting were anointed. Jacob anointed the rock where he laid his head on, where he had a vision of a ladder going up to heaven when he was at Bethel. So things were set apart and anointed for God's special use. And this happened, this anointing happened all the way down through the centuries until we come to the anointed one. Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. Do you realize that Christ is not Jesus' last name? Christ is actually a title that literally means the anointed. And so we could more accurately say it, Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointed. And it says in Acts chapter 10, verse 38, how God anointed Jesus. Excuse me. Anytime there was anointing, it would be somebody of greater power or greater honor that would then anoint the person who was to receive the anointing. But here it says that God anointed Jesus. Who gets to anoint Jesus? I mean, who's greater? Well, it says, and God anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. So God anointed himself with himself. Because there was no one else of greater or equal value besides himself to anoint himself. And so he anoints Jesus with power. And he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. It's the only thing that was of equal or greater value. And this anointing insinuates that this moment culminated in this release of power or assignment that came even on Jesus. It says in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim liberty to those who are captives and recovering of sight to those, to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. And so when God's anointing even came upon God himself, Jesus in the flesh, it's like this empowerment for the assignment came upon him as well. God's presence and power are residing in this mysterious anointing. I could say it this way. The anointing is simply the power of the Holy Spirit to do what God has assigned you to do. Do you realize, how many of you guys have assignments from God? Some of you guys are in a parenting assignment right now. Some of you guys are in a business assignment right now. Some of you, God has stirring up a ministry assignment right now. Whatever it is, God has assigned you to different tasks and different seasons. And with that assignment comes an empowerment from the Holy Spirit to accomplish the assignment that God has for your life. How many of you guys believe that that's true? Well, if you don't believe that that's true, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 21 tells us that not only were kings and prophets and priests and even Jesus anointed, but we also in the New Testament have been anointed as well. It says, and it is God who establishes us with you in Christ and has anointed us, and who has also put his seal on us and given us his Spirit in our hearts as a guarantee. And so many of us are in different seasons of life. Many of us have different assignments from God that are in front of us. Some of them are obvious, some of them are less obvious. Some of them are weighty, and some of them may feel like they carry less weight. But I want you to know that whatever God has assigned you to do in this season, there's an empowerment from the Holy Spirit that's available for you to walk out that assignment. And so I don't know how you feel right now, but I want you just to picture that anointing oil, like Samuel with that horn of oil, the coming all over David. I want you just to picture that coming over you. Because you have been anointed for whatever God has called you to do. You've been empowered by the Spirit of God to do what God has called you to do. Now, here's the question. Have you ever been in this moment where, like, okay, I can see that in Scripture. You walked me through that. Was very nice, but I don't feel anointed right now. Anybody been there before, right? I feel like I got an assignment, but I don't feel like I have the power to walk it out. I feel like I've got something that God is wanting me to do, but I don't know if I have the strength to do it. Why don't I feel anointed? Let me give you some reasons why you may not feel anointed today. Number one, you may not be putting a demand on the anointing. You see, availability, just because God's strength is available to you does not mean you are accessing God's strength. Just because God unlocked the door for you does not mean you have opened the door to invite God in to be an empowerment in this season in your life. You see, with anointing comes assignment, with assignment comes ability, and God will never leave you without a way to accomplish his will for your life. Let me say that again. God will never leave you without a way to accomplish his will for your life. With every obedience that he asks, he will bring an accompanying empowerment and grace from the Holy Spirit to accomplish whatever he's asked you to do. Do not think God will leave you by yourself without the strength to do what he's asked you to do. He will bring the strength, but you have to access the strength. You know, we've been talking about this MOVE initiative, and many of you guys have been faithful, stepping out in faith. We've been doing that as well, and God gave us a number to give to the MOVE initiative, and honestly, we didn't know how we were gonna do it for the first few months of this stretch. And can I tell you, God has already rearranged the pieces to allow us the ability to be able to do that and to fulfill what God has called us to do. And I've heard story after story after story of those of you guys just the same way. As you stepped out in faith, you didn't know how it happened, but you felt like you had a nudge from God and you stepped out in faith. Listen, with every obedience that God asks from you, he will bring an accompanying ability and empowerment from the Holy Spirit, and it'll come in ways you never thought. You may not be putting a demand on the anointing. You see, let me just tell you, the anointing is not there for you to feel something. The anointing is there for you to do something. And if you aren't serving God and stepping out into your purpose, you don't even need the anointing. You don't need the empowerment from God if you're not stepping out, if you're not walking by faith, if you're not stepping out if you're not serving God in some capacity. How can the Holy Spirit help us in our weakness if we're always managing our situations down to fit our own strength? How can we walk by faith if we only put ourselves in situations of sight? You see, we may not feel the anointing because we're not putting ourselves in a position where we need God's empowerment. We're only walking in our own strength. Well, you're not gonna feel that, you're not gonna have the anointing of God if you don't need the anointing of God. And that's where many of us end up walking out our lives. We just wanna walk in our own strength. Another reason why you may not need, where you might not feel the anointing, it's because you may be living off of yesterday's anointing. You see, if we go to the end of the book of Judges, this is years after Joshua. We just talked about Joshua. The people of God were up and down. Things did not look good by the end of the book of Judges. In fact, it says in those days, the very last line of the book of Judges, in those days there was no king and the people only did what was right in their own sight. And it wasn't that they didn't have like a person as a king. It's that they had rejected God as their king. And so they decide, well, we want to be like all the other nations. We want to have a king of our own. And God says, that's not, I need to be your king. But they said, no, we want to be like everybody else. And so they asked for a king. And God told Samuel, he said, Samuel, they can have a king, but I want you to tell them it's not going to go good. And so Samuel goes and he tells them, hey, you can have a king, but here's what's going to happen. And it's not good. And they say, no, we want a king anyway. And so then God says, okay, you're going to get a king. And that's where they come and they anoint Saul. And Saul becomes their king. And at first it looks good because he's had a few victories. But there's problems. There's cracks that start to develop pretty quickly. His character, his heart starts to change. He had the look of a king, but the heart of a king left him. And he began to make a series of mistakes. One, he offered a sacrifice. We'll look at that here in just a little bit. He offered a sacrifice that only priests were supposed to offer. He got presumptuous. Two, he made a rash vow that almost cost the life of his own son. And then three, he was actually just flat out disobedience. And as a result of all these things, God says, I anointed you, but now I'm taking it back. I reject you as king. And so the issue was, though, Saul had been rejected as king, but he still continued to be king. It could be said this way, that he had the crown, but he lost the anointing. Do you realize that yesterday's gifts and momentum can still function today? Even after God rejected him as king, do you realize that Saul even prophesied later on after God had rejected him as king? See, yesterday's gifts and momentum, they can still function today. And here's the thing. I got good news and bad news for you. Here's the good news. Ready for some good news? Can we have some good news today? All right, here's some good news. God can use you in spite of your mess. Come on, somebody say amen to that. God can use you in spite of your mess. You ready for the bad news? God will still use you in spite of your mess. And here's why that's bad news, is because just because God is using you does not mean everything's all right. And we get presumptuous just because gifts are functioning, just because we're being used in certain ways, and we just assume that everything's okay. It could be that we're operating off of yesterday's anointing, and it's carrying a momentum into our life that we're still able to function and everything seems okay, but something down deep at our core is off. Do you realize you can be operating off of yesterday's relationship with God? You're just operating off of fumes today in your relationships, in your marriage. You realize that you could be operating off of yesterday's relationship with your spouse instead of keeping this fresh and alive today. We talked about, you might have seen that that promo for the marriage workshop that we're doing. We need to have moments in our life where we have these resets, like we talked about, where we don't just assume that everything's okay, but we take a moment and we reset some things in our life. I'm gonna have a video clip here of Pastor Aaron and Sarah. They talk about how they did this with their marriage, and kind of an invitation for you to join us in this workshop as well. But it applies to us today, that this can happen in many areas of our life. But here it is, check it out.
Well, we are Aaron and Sarah Poor, and we just want to take a second to talk about how important it is to have a formal vision for your marriage. We did this a few years ago. What happened is we had a big marriage event at Journey Church, and one of the speakers we found out had this program to help you write down a vision for your marriage. And so we did the whole thing. We got away from the house. We went to a hotel. It took us a couple of days, and we went through this whole process of writing out this vision for our marriage. And we were surprised at how much we learned about ourselves, how much we learned about our marriage. And it really became a pivot point for us taking that step.
Yeah, and I remember before then, even we would take time to be intentional about how to, you know, look at each year, navigate, because different seasons are going to bring up different problems and storms are going to happen, or unexpected. But this retreat was intentional too, and it gave us an opportunity to dig deep, not only in our marriage and in each other, but in our kids and our friends. Yeah. And just asking questions. What does the next 6 months, 1 year, 5 years, what do we want out of this? And we saw a lot of fruit come out of it. And it's important to do this not just once, but on a regular basis.
Yeah, and one of the things that I'm so excited about what we have planning coming up at Journey Church is the idea that we're going to take that kind of a step with marriages here. But then one of the things that we didn't get an opportunity to do when we did this was to come back month after month and take a deeper dive into different aspects of your marriage. It's going to be so powerful. So if you have an opportunity to do this and write out a vision and plan for your marriage, you need to do it.
All right, that's a little commercial for you. Okay, so I'll just tell you that right now. But it's also a good application point for us to look at areas of our life. Where am I living off of yesterday's relationship? Where am I living off of yesterday instead of right now? There was a priest in America one time, and he said, I don't remember where it came from, but this quote just stuck with me. He said this, listen to this. If the Holy Spirit were taken completely from the church, 90% of the work of the church would go right on as if nothing had happened. That's sobering, but as you look at the landscape of the American church, it's so true. How much of the work of ministry in church life would go right on as if nothing was missing if the Holy Spirit were removed? That does not look like what the Bible says. That's why we believe what we believe around here, because the Holy Spirit, the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, ought to be fueling what's happening in the church. Now, let me ask you a question. If the Holy Spirit was removed from your life, how much of your life would go right on as if nothing had changed? If the Holy Spirit was removed from your marriage, how much of your marriage would go right on as if nothing had changed? See, we need the empowerment of God in every area of our life. Yesterday's anointing has a momentum that can ride on long after it's gone. And it's not just church leaders that need an empowerment from God. It's business leaders. Come on. I hope that if you are a Christian and you are in business, that you are inviting God into that process. I hope that you are submitting to God in the process of your business, at work. If you're going to school, I hope that God is involved in that process and you haven't compartmentalized your life to such a degree where you step in and out of a relationship with God. No, we need him in every single area of our life. So you may be living off of yesterday's anointing. Number three, you may be trying to live outside of your anointing. Yes, you are anointed, but just because you are anointed doesn't mean anything you want to do is anointed. Man, it's quiet in this place, man. First Samuel chapter 13, let's look at Saul. Let's look at where he lost it. It says, he, that's Saul, waited 7 days, the time appointed by Samuel. So Saul is waiting for Samuel to come. It's a challenging situation, but Samuel's going to come and offer a sacrifice. But Samuel did not come to Gilgal, and the people were scattering to him. As you study the life of Saul, you will see one of Saul's biggest fear is fear of man. He's afraid of what people think about him. And so when the people started to scatter, Saul got nervous, and he wanted to get control. See, fear always leads to control, by the way. That's a different message. So Saul said, bring me the burnt offering, bring it here to me, and the peace offerings. And he offered the burnt offering. Now again, kings do not offer sacrifices, priests offer sacrifices. And so he offers the burnt offering, and as soon as he had finished offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came. Uh-oh, right? Can you imagine? He just finished. And then Samuel, who's a prophet priest, comes, and then Samuel says what? He says, what have you done? And Saul said, when I saw the people were scattering from me and you did not come within the days appointed and that the Philistines had mustered in Michmash, I said, now the Philistines will come down against me at Gilgal and I have not sought the favor of the Lord. And so I forced myself. Can you see now he's a victim in it, right? He's like, I didn't want to do it, but I forced myself to do it and offered the burnt offering. And Samuel said to Saul, you have done foolishly. You have not kept the command of the Lord your God with which he commanded you. For then the Lord would have established your kingdom over Israel forever, but now your kingdom shall not continue. The Lord has sought out a man after his own heart. We know that will be David. And the Lord has commanded him to be prince over his people because you have not kept what the Lord commanded you. Saul promoted himself beyond his anointing. Saul promoted himself beyond his anointing. Just because he's king does not mean he gets to do anything he wants. Just because you've been anointed and empowered by God and you have the Holy Spirit with you does not mean you get to do anything you want. Samuel's anointing was to offer sacrifices. Saul's was to be king, and he lost the favor of God in this moment. So here's the point. Don't covet someone else's anointing. What God has anointed you to do is where you will find the most fruit. It's where you will find the most fulfillment. It's where, can I even just say, you'll find the most fun? But we spend so much time coveting somebody else's anointing that we never truly step into ours to experience all that God has for us. There's this thing in leadership called the Peter Principle. Has anybody heard of this before? The Peter Principle, it's named after a guy, but it's this idea that in leadership or in life, a lot of the times, many people get promoted to their level of incompetence, either by vacancy or their own ambition. So here's how it works. If you're in an office environment and you have a floor full of cubicles and the cubicle people are doing whatever the cubicle people are doing, and one of the cubicle guys is the best cubicle guy on the whole floor, and all of a sudden the manager of the cubicle people moves on to some other business and they need to look for another cubicle manager person, where do they look? They look at all the cubicle people and they see, this guy's the star cubicle guy. Let's make him the manager. He must be good because he's the best one. And a guy who was the greatest cubicle person now is the manager, but he didn't have the gifting and calling to be the manager. And so now he's managed, and now he's, have you guys ever worked for that guy before, right? You know exactly what I'm talking about. And see, this happens through vacancy, where now there's an opening, so somebody fills a spot, or like Saul's case, through ambition, we promote ourselves to our level, to a level of incompetence. This happens in ministry areas as well. In church world, you have a guy who maybe loves to preach. And so now all of a sudden there's an opportunity to pastor a church. And so a guy who loves to preach all of a sudden pastors a church. Well, he's a great preacher, but did not have the gifts to pastor people, because pastoring is a lot different than preaching, by the way. This is just part of what I do. This is the easiest part of what I do, by the way. This happens when in like worship ministry, just use a few examples. You have somebody who's a great musician or a great singer, and now all of a sudden there's an opening. We need somebody to lead worship, and so somebody who's a great singer now becomes the worship leader. Just because they were a good singer does not mean they're going to be great at pastoring people in worship. And this happens in many areas of our life, where through vacancy or ambition, we end up getting promoted outside of our anointing, or maybe outside of the timing of our anointing. Promoted to a place we're not designed for. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 15 and 16 says, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. Question is, will we accept our anointing or try to live someone else's? Now, will God stretch us outside of our comfort zone? For sure, there's going to be times in your life where you feel like I'm being stretched and it doesn't fit right to my personality, whatever it is. But there's a difference between stretching and us forcing. And we have to be sensitive to that. God will never promote us to incompetence. God gives us a grace lane to run in. So sometimes we may not feel like things are right because we're trying to live outside of our anointing. Let me give you one last one. Why we don't feel anointed maybe in this season. And here's why. You're anointed, but you're still hidden. Let's go back to our key verse, 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 13. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him, anointed David in the midst of his brothers. Watch this. The Spirit of the Lord rushed upon David from that day. Right in that moment, teenager David gets anointed. The Spirit of God rushes upon him. I have to imagine, like many of us, that David had dreamed that God would use him in big ways. He may have even dreamed of this day. We don't know if he had dreamed about this or not. But now, here he is, even as a teenager, getting anointed. Everything he's dreamed about is happening quicker than what he thought, against all the odds, accelerated. He's now anointed king. What do you think happened next? He got an agent. He got honor, he got riches. He went to the palace. No, what happened? Back to the pasture. He's anointed, but he's hidden. He's out in the pasture. He's in the lonely field. How would that feel when you get anointed by the prophet, the priest, anointing oil all over your head? It's legit. Go back out and watch the sheep. David got a prophetic word about his assignment and his destiny, and like most of us, he probably thought it was going to happen the next day, but it didn't. This quote, here's what happens to most of us when we find ourselves in an anointed but hidden spot. And it reminds me of this quote that I heard a long time ago. The tragedy of life is not when a man dies. The tragedy of life is what dies inside a man while he lives. See, what happens is many of us, when we are anointed, but it doesn't happen yet, we either let it die or we get mad. Most of the time, it's both. We've all experienced it, right? I don't have to tell you about it because we've all been there. We are tempted to let it die or we're tempted to get mad about it. And here's what I want you to know as we're coming to the close. And I believe that the witness of Scripture can back this up. But if you are in an anointed moment, but you're still hidden, here's what I want you to know. God still sees you right now. God is forming you right now. And God is doing something in you right now that you can't see. And this is the time probably in all of your life where you have to learn to trust him the most. Because it doesn't feel like it's happening. David was becoming the person in the pasture that he needed to become, that he needed to be when he hit the palace. But palace preparation never takes place in the palace. Palace preparation always takes place in the pasture. You can't skip the step. We'd love for it to be, okay, God, I'm ready for the palace. Prepare me when I get there. God never prepares you for the palace in the palace. It's always in the pasture that he prepares you for the palace. And so we've got to make some decisions. We can't skip this step, but I can tell you what we can do. We can leverage it. We can lean into it. We can choose to allow God to grow us as much as he will during this time. We can recognize, we can have spiritual eyes to see what God might be doing. We can understand that at times we make assumptions about where God is taking us, that he might be changing. I've had that happen time and time again. I had an assumption about where God was taking me, and as I just simply followed him day by day faithfully, all of a sudden I found myself on a path I never expected, but it turned out to be better than I would have planned. But we can't do that if we're just making assumptions that, God, if I'm not in the palace, I'm out. That's not how it works, and that's not what David did. David stayed faithful in the pasture. He continued to write songs. We'll get into this here throughout the series. He continued to write songs that end up in the Psalms. He continued to fight a lion and a bear. We'll get into there was preparation for his pathway to the palace. And so let's become people this year in 2026 that become people after God's own heart. And one of the ways that I think we can start off, it would be a great way, is by receiving communion together. Would you guys prepare your hearts to receive communion? I'm gonna invite the worship team to come back. As we prepare our hearts for this, what we're doing is the best place we can always end up in moments like this, and that is essentially at the cross and the empty tomb. See, everything culminates at the cross and the empty tomb. That when we come together and we receive communion, what it is we're partaking together in this realization that we're part of the body of Christ. The juice represents the blood that was spilled. The cracker represents the body that was broken. But ultimately, it all represents that God has gone before us, that God has sacrificed deeply for us, that God loves us so much that he's willing to pave a way, that God is doing things behind the scenes that we can't see, and that God is more powerful than any circumstance on the planet. And we come to a place of surrender to that. And that's ultimately what the table's all about. There's tables in back and tables in the front. As we come together and receive these elements, take them back to your seat during this song. Just have a moment with God. And if I were you, I would just suggest this prayer. God, I wanna be a person after your own heart. God, I wanna come into alignment with you. So would you stand up with me as we prepare to do that? Lord, as we come to the table today, help us come into alignment. Would you mold our heart into become a heart after your own heart? There's areas we need to adjust as we reset at this beginning of this year. Lord, help us to have eyes to see an uncommon awareness of what you're doing in this season. Lord, that we'd be willing to walk the path that you have for us. Lord, that you would make us aware that we are not called to live this life on our own, but there's an accompanying empowerment from God, a strength in our weakness. May we be the kind of people that not walk in pride in our own strength, but we yield to you and we invite you in to be our strength, to be our empowerment. Lord, that's what we want to do as we come to the table today. And we thank you that you are that strength, that you're more than enough. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let's come and receive.